We are up to Perek Dalet Mishnah Vav of Maseches Irvin. So this Mishnah, first Mishnah that we are going to do, and really the second one as well, have to do with what we'd call overlapping Irvin, or overlapping areas in which a person can carry. So we'll have to see what the text says, but basically what it's going to come down to is that we one person in the middle and two people on either side of this guy, so who can join in a meal with one another on Shabbos. So let's see. So Hayush Shnaim, if there were two people who each had their own area, right? So let's say, again, imagine the case that we spoke about previously of someone who was stuck in the middle of the desert somewhere and they had their 4x4 area, or maybe it was 8x8, whatever it is, right? So there were different opinions there. Let's assume 4x4 for now, and we'll see later that maybe we'll switch that to 8x8. But for now, so let's assume, so there were Hayushanayim, there were two people, each had their 4x4 area. Miktsas Amosav Shalzeh Besoch Amosav Shalzeh, and some of the four Amos of one overlap this, some of the four Amos of the other. So imagine you have like an entirety of like a six Amma lengthwise area, and you have one person who is sitting in point A, and one person who is sitting in point B, and from point A's edge to point B's other edge, that's a total of six Amos. And so basically what happens is if they have a 4x4 Amma area each, so that means two of their Amos are going to overlap, right? So because we'll just break it down, two Amos belong to point A only, the next two Amos belong to point A and point B, and then the final two Amos belong to point B only. And so basically what it means is you have this whole length of six Amos, and so again, four belong, so two belong to each of them independently, and two are joint in between the two of them. So again, so some of the area of this one overlapped with some of the area of this one. And that's just an example, by the way. It could be obviously not an exact, but that's the example of the two, and two. So says the Mishnah, they can bring their food and they can eat in the middle Amos, meaning they're allowed to eat in that two Amma area that's shared by each of them. As long as, obviously, each one is careful, and they don't bring their food from their four Amma area to the unshared part of the other guy. So in other words, again, point A has his own area, point B has his own area, so point A and B can eat in their mutual area, but they cannot eat in each other's non-mutual areas. Okay, but let's say the Mishnah says, well, more complicated, this was the case that we mentioned at the beginning, Hayushlosha, let's say there were three people that each had their own four Amma areas, and now what we're going to assume over here is not that each of them have 4x4, but rather that each of them have 8x8. And so let's see what happens now as a result of that. So let's see. So Hayu Shlosha, there are three people who each have their own area, each have their own four Amma area. The Hayam Tsai Muvla Beinehan, and the middle person's area was overlapped by the other two. Right? But basically you have these two outer areas that didn't overlap at all. So you have person A, B, and C. Person A has his four Amos in each direction. So forgetting about the four Amos that he has to his left, let's say, let's focus on, I know it's difficult to picture, but so guy on point A has four Amos to his right, okay? And guy and point C, let's forget about B for a second, point C is 12 Amos away from point A, and point C has four Amos to the right, which we'll forget about also right now, and four Amos to the left. Now, person B, who's in the middle of person A and C, has four Amos to the left and four Amos to the right. So basically where that lands us is that B has an overlapping area with A, and B has an overlapping area with C. So again, let's start from the beginning. There were three people, and the middle one was overlapped by the other two. So again, A and C didn't overlap, but B overlapped with A and C. Humutar imah and vehin mutar nimo. He is allowed to bring his food and eat with either of them in the area that he shares with them. And the other people can bring their food to this permitted area, this mutual area, and they can each eat with him in that shared area. Ushnaim hachitzon masurim ze imze. However, the two outer people can't eat with each other because they have no overlapping areas whatsoever. In theory, it's an interesting question because at the end of the day, 12 Amos is not that far from one another, so you really could have a nice meal together. So it seems like a bit of a moot point, but the point seems to be that the Mishnah is just trying to make the point, and that is they are allowed to eat in the shared areas, but they cannot eat B can eat with A or B can eat with C in their shared areas, but A and C cannot eat with one another. Let's have one final case of the Mishnah now. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon said, Lamaha Davar Domar, what is this whole thing comparable to? L'shalosh chatseros ha-psuchos zo l'zo psuchos l'roshus ha-rabim. So let's say you have three courtyards. So each of the courtyards, they open into one another, and they also open into the roshus ha-rabim. Okay, so imagine just three. It's pretty similar. I mean, when you draw the picture, it looks pretty similar to what we just had. So you have one courtyard A, courtyard B, and courtyard C, and or A opens to B, and B opens to C, and C opens to B, and B opens to A, but basically A and C don't overlap at all. And also A, B, and C all open up into the Rishus Harabim. Erev Ushtean Imhaim Sayis, if you have the two outer courtyards, were each joined with an eruv with the middle courtyard, but not with each other, right? So in other words, C has an eruv with B, and B has an eruv with A, but A and C don't have an eruv together. He muteras imah, mehim muteras imah. One is allowed to bring the residents of the courtyard in the middle can bring their stuff to the outer courtyard. And the outer courtyard is allowed to bring their stuff into the inner courtyard. So in other words, A can eat with B, C can eat with B, B can eat with A, or B can eat with C. But ushtayim hachitzonos asuros zoim zo. But the two outer courtyards, A and C, are not allowed to eat one another, even though they have a shared area with B. Since they don't have a shared area with each other, they cannot eat together. In theory now, they could probably eat all in B together, but again, A can't eat with C, and C cannot eat with A. Okay? So that's the end of Mishnah Vav. Mishnah Zayin now has another situation regarding how a person is allowed to establish their eruv. Misha ba bederech v'chashchalo. Let's say someone was traveling on a Friday and it began. It was getting dark and he couldn't reach his home before Shabbos. But v'haya makir ilan o gader. But he saw a landmark or like a tree or a wall, something like that. There was 2,000 amos in front of him, and he knew that this 2,000 amma, this tree was 2,000 amos in front of his house. So basically, where he's standing right now is about 4,000 amos from his house. So va'amar shavi sasi tachtav, and let's say he said, my place of residence is going to be for Shabbos under that tree or under that wall that I see. So it says Mishnah lo amar klum. He hasn't said anything. That does not make that does not establish any residence. Therefore, he has no tchum here because of the fact that under the area of the tree or like next to the wall is going to be a larger than a four amos area. And as a result, we say that it like wasn't specific enough that it didn't have enough specifics in it to establish a residence. But let's say shvi sasi vi ikaro. But if he said that my residence should be like at the tree's trunk. Like just right there, it'll be right there, you know, in a very specific area with these specifics that help us understand exactly what he's talking about, where it's going to be. So then we say the declaration that he made does take effect, and he has essentially been able to establish his residence at this tree trunk. Mahalich vimkom raglav v'adi karo alpayim ama. And so therefore he can go from the place that he is standing until the trunk, which is 2,000 amos, umi karo v'ad beiso alpayim ama. And then he can go from the trunk until his house, which is also 2,000 amos. Why is he allowed to do that? Because again, we know that general tachum works, that if you have if your residence is point A on Shabbos, then you can walk 2,000 amos to the north and 2,000 amos to the south, and right, you have that 2,000 amos circumference around your house. So over here, essentially what he said is that he's 2,000 amos away from his house. Where is his house? His house is at the tree trunk. So he could walk 2,000 amos to the tree trunk, and the 2,000 amos past the tree trunk is his house, so that whole 4,000 amma area is now going to be considered kosher for him, and so therefore he can walk to his house on Shabbos even after it gets dark, as long as he established it before it got dark. Nimtza mahalich mishachashecha arba'a alpayim amma. So why? Because what happens? At the end of the day, we'll find that he can go, after it gets dark outside, he can go up to 4,000 amos, because basically the Chachamim were makel over here, and they said that this traveling guy is allowed to establish his residence for Shabbos by saying that this is going to be my residence, even though he's not there. And by doing so, then he has this whole 4,000 amma area to get back to his house on Shabbos. That brings us to the end of Mishnah Zayin. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Ches, but for now, we will stop right here.